The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the August 2024 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And at the top of the front page, it says Paris 2024. A big picture of Coco Gauff. On her right, our left, shows a picture of her powerful forehand, toss for the serve, running after a shot, and her variety of shots around the net. Let's see what we're in store for this month. We'll start with the lineup, July, August 2024. On page 34, Paris 2024. The Olympics are back in France, and stars like Coco Gauff are ready to compete for their countries. On page 16, relief pitchers have been entering games in style for years thanks to bullpen carts. Page 18, only early draft pick can make a huge difference for a franchise. Two top picks can be a game changer. Everyone loves a local hero. So what if geography determined which players a team could pick? That's on page 82. On page 42, it's time to induct our latest class into the Hall of Cool. Welcome Caitlin, Wilma, Jesse, and Free Chicken. That's on page 42. And on page 48, Michael Penix Jr. followed a non-traditional path for a quarterback, but it landed him at Atlanta as a first rounder. Some other faves that we can look forward to: freeze frame on page 2, sports cards on page 7, hot take on page 9, birthdays page 11, on page 27 is posters, page 31 the treehouse, page 52 what's the call, games on page 53, art gallery page 54, and on page 56 Buzz Beamer. Let's go to freeze frame. Picture here of a cycler lying in the sand. May 4th, 2024, St. George, Utah. Reed Ziegler had a busy day. A 1.2-mile swim, this 56-mile bike ride through Snow Canyon State Park, and then a 13.1-mile run. Ziegler, a 28-year-old who started doing triathlons during the COVID-19 lockdown, was competing in the Ironman 70.3 North American Championship, and he finished the race in 4 hours, 10 minutes, and 16 seconds. Another freeze frame. All a blur. May 18, 2024, Imola, Italy. Flags of all sorts were flying during final practice at the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix, but chances are Max Verstappen was too focused to notice. The next day, he finished more than 7 seconds ahead of Lando Norris for the 5th win in what was just the 7th race of the season. It was Verstappen's 3rd straight win at the track. Now let's go to Who's Who in Sports. On page 8, Charlie Condon, Georgia Bulldogs, third baseman. His height is 6'6". His weight is 216 pounds. He was born April 14, 2003, hometown Marietta, Georgia. In 2 seasons at Georgia, Condon hit a school record 62 home runs, including 37 this year. He also batted .433 and slugged .009 in 2024 as the Bulldogs advanced to the Super Regionals of the NCAA tournament. But did you know, in 2011, the NCAA introduced bats that behave more like wooden ones so the ball doesn't travel as far? Condon's 37 homers are a single-season record for the new bats. The overall record is 48 by Pete Incaviglia of Oklahoma State. Bea Zenareto, Kansas City Current. She's a forward. Her height is 5'9". She was born December 17th, 1993. Hometown, Araquara, Brazil. Zananaro scored 4 goals and added 4 assists in her first 8 games with the Current after signing in the offseason from Palmeiras in Brazil. She was named the league's Player of the Month for March and April. Zanarara has played in 4 Women's World Cups. But did you know the Current joined the NWSL in 2021? FC Kansas City was a charter member of the league but ceased operations in 2017 after winning 2 titles in its 5 seasons. And finally, we have Clay Holmes, New York Yankees pitcher. His height is 6'5". His weight is 245 pounds. He was born March 27, 1993, in hometown Dothan, Alabama. Holmes allowed just 4 earned runs in his first 30 appearances of 2024, and they all came in 1 game. He saved 19 games and had an ERA of 1.23 in that stretch. Holmes made his first All-Star appearance in 2022 when he saved 20 games for the Yankees. Did you know, though, the Major League record for consecutive scoreless appearances is 40, held by Ryan Presley of the Astros in 2019 and equaled by Josh Hader of the Brewers in 2022. Hot take, warm-up. And the uniform war. Now, here we have a picture here in the middle of the page. Rush job. The Texans' new alternate uniforms include a historical shade of blue. Imagine your big brother has a shirt that you really like. It's a bright powder blue, like the sky of a clear day. And even though it doesn't really fit your brother anymore, he refuses to hand it down. Now imagine your brother is wearing that shirt and running after you at 20 miles per hour, anxious to tackle you. That's more or less the plight of the Houston Texans. Last December, the Tennessee Titans wore blue, white, and red throwback Houston Oilers jerseys in a game against the Texans. The Titans played 2 seasons in Love Your Blue as the Oilers in the late 90s after moving to Tennessee from Texas. Despite the Titans being the original Oilers, they're still owned by the franchise's founding family. The Texans took offense. In fact, they'd probably be offended if I called them little brothers in my opening analogy. The Titans no doubt did it on purpose. The Texans got their revenge on the field, winning that game by 19-16 in overtime. Then the team seemingly made peace with the Titans, allowing the Texans to include a small amount of disputed shade of blue to their new color rush unis for next season. Apparently, however, the feud is still simmering. Hannah McNair, wife of Texans owner Cal McNair, wore a Love Ya Blue jacket when introducing the team's new duds and wasted no time taking a swipe at their divisional and territorial rivals up in Nashville. Who started that? Who started it? Wearing it against us, and then, if anybody was at that game, their in-house PA was instigating it. It was unbelievable, but also wonderful because we finished the story, she said, referring to the December win. The feud has even spilled into the college ranks, where the Houston Cougars have vowed to continue wearing Oilers throwbacks in defiance of a cease and desist letter from the NFL. So, as always, I am going to have to be the 12-year-old adult who steps in to settle a feud between middle-aged billionaire adults. Titans, it'd be very nice if you shared the Love Ya Blue uniforms with your brother. They're clearly very fond of these jerseys, and you should be flattered that they want to dress like you. Texans, all you can do is ask your brother for the uniforms. He created them fair and square in the 1960s, so they're his to share if he wants to. Be grateful that he's letting you use the blue trim this season, and maybe he'll share more colors with you in the future. Jaguars, why are you here? Your uniforms are green. The Titans-Texans rivalry isn't the first to feature clothing confusion. It took 15 years for the Washington Nationals to wear Montreal Expos throwbacks, despite the uniform being a stone-cold classic with its hat worthy of inclusion in our Hall of Cool. maybe it's hard to wear a jersey from another country when your team is literally called the Nationals. And when the Nationals finally had an Expos Day in 2019, not everyone in Montreal was thrilled. Then there's the NHL, where the Winnipeg Jets are the former Atlanta Thrashers. The Calgary Flames are the former Atlanta Flames. And the new, yet-to-be-named Utah team was the Arizona Coyotes, who were the original Winnipeg Jets. Will Utah pull the Titans and wear Winnipeg Jets throwbacks while hosting the Winnipeg Jets? I hope so. My NHL rooting interest is chaos. I would never say this in my other context, but maybe more teams should emulate the Mets. The Dodgers and Giants left New York and took two iconic uniform sets with them. When the Mets arrived as a replacement for both fan bases, they synthesized the looks, adding the Giants' orange logo to the Dodgers' blue. No one thinks Dodgers-Giants mesh up when they see a Mets hat because blue and orange works as a combo. But think about it for a second, and the homage is blindingly obvious. So maybe the Texans can take their deep steel blue and combine it with their Oilers' SK, H-Town blue, to create a kind of two-tone blue identity. Wait, that's literally the Titans' uniforms. Okay, you guys are just going to have to settle this one on the field. LOL, going downhill. Generally, in auto racing, a driver wants their car as light as possible because a lighter vehicle means the engine can make it go faster. But what if there's no engine? When a car is powered by gravity, more weight actually helps up to a point, which explains why Formula One star Sergio Perez, jokingly we hope, accused driver of Yuki Tsunoda of wearing extra underwear during their soapbox race in Montreal in June. The event featured four drivers, Perez and his Red Bull teammate Max Verstappen, as well as Tsunoda and his teammate Daniel Ricciardo. The course had a few turns, some bumps, and a soap foam area meant to evoke a Canadian blizzard. The cars had no gas pedals, only brakes, but those were largely ignored. Asked about his strategy, Perez said simply, "Don't brake." The event wasn't nearly as big as the annual Soapbox Derby, which draws hundreds of competitors as young as seven to Akron, Ohio, every summer. But it might have had the most impressive group of drivers. Verstappen, who has won the last three F1 World Championships, put up the fastest qualifying time and beat Ricciardo in the final. He was presented with a trophy. Unlike in F1, his car was not inspected after the race. Neither, for that matter, was his underwear. Birthdays. July. Crystal Dunn of Gotham FC and the USWNT has her 32nd birthday. July 13th, Chicago Cubs slugger Cody Bellinger celebrates turning 29. And Chicago Blackhawks rookie sensation Connor Bedard is 19. And July 28th, Kelly Norda, the number one women golfer in the world, turns 26. Future star, page 12, warm-up. Olivia Vukosa. Her birthplace, Whitestone, New York. Her birthday, September 7, 2008. Sport, basketball. Standing 6'4", Olivia Vukosa towers over her opponents and proudly carries the name Big O. The moniker has smaller beginnings, though. I was younger. I scored, and one of my teammates' dad started calling me it, she says. Ever since then, it stuck. Don't let her size fool you. Olivia plays center but has a skilled handle and range from three. And last season, she helped Christ the King High win city and state titles while averaging 17.5 points, 18.8 rebounds, and 3.6 blocks per game. The top post player in the 2026 class, Olivia has already received offers from UConn, South Carolina, and Stanford. Are you a future star? If you think you have what it takes to be a sports kid of the month, have an adult submit your nomination at sportskids@si.com. Here we have three pictures of Olivia in the top left-hand corner. doing some stretching. And in the middle, looks like she's eyeing maybe for a free throw and showing off her ball skills or dribbling skills at the bottom of the page. Next, page 13. Did Be Real, did Buzz do this? A few years ago, reports that the world's bee population was declining led to a bit of a panic. Bees pollinate plants, and remove the little buzzards from the picture could have dire consequences for the human food chain. All of which is to say, bees have a significant place in our world, just not at sporting events. That became evident in March when Carlos Alcaraz was stung on the forehead when a swarm descended on the court of a tournament in California. His match was delayed by nearly 2 hours. Alcaraz ultimately won. Then in April, there was more bee-related drama. A colony set up shop atop the screen before a Diamondbacks Dodgers game in Phoenix. The teams feared a foul ball will agitate the bees, so an emergency call was placed to a pest control company. Branch manager Matt Hilton got word of what was happening and left his son's T-ball game to drive to Chase Field. He entered to a standing ovation. As the song Holding Out for a Hero played, he humanely stunned the bees with the spray and removed them with the vacuum as the crowd chanted, MVP! MVP! The game eventually got underway, but not before Hilton threw out the first pitch. Sting Operation. A well-protected Hilton became a folk hero while a defenseless Alcaraz took one on the forehead. Ooh, careful of those bees. At the Movies, Channel Changer. Daisy Ridley stars in a new film about revolutionary swimmer Gertrude Ederle. If you want to get from England to France, there are several options. You can take a 90-minute ferry across the English Channel. There's a train that goes through a tunnel that can do the trip in 35 minutes. A few years ago, an inventor made the journey on a hoverboard. Or if you're really ambitious, you can swim the 21 miles of frigid water separating the two countries. Prior to 1926, only 5 people, all men, had made the swim, and none faster than in 16 hours. Then Gertrude Trudy Ederle, a 20-year-old from New York City, made that crossing in just 14 hours and 31 minutes. Trudy's remarkable story and the obstacles she overcame, including criticism from men who didn't think it was proper for women to swim, and a harrowing case of measles, is told in the new film, The Young Woman and the Sea, which is streaming on Disney+. Trudy is played by Daisy Ridley, a.k.a. Rey from Star Wars. Ridley faced her own challenges, such as barely knowing how to swim. I could not do the front crawl before this film, she told Jaden and Hudson Springer in a video interview for SI Kids. I usually don't like swimming out in the open water. I like being in pools, and I like having my feet in the sea. There were the critters in the water with her. It was quite scary. There weren't sharks, but there were jellyfish, so I was very scared I was going to get eaten by something, Ridley says. She didn't, of course. Like Ederle, Ridley thrived, and the end result is a movie that both entertains and inspires. Waterworld. Ridley trained with a swimming coach for months to emulate Ederle at the bottom, who became a national hero in 1926. I feel very inspired by what Trudy did, says Ridley. I feel very proud to be telling her story. Good job. The Grid, Olympic Edition. 2024 field hockey player Abby Tamer. 2024 breaker Victor Montalvo. Tokyo Olympic swimming gold medalist Lydia Jacoby. What is your favorite emoji for Abby Tamer? The covered smile. For Victor, the teardrops. And Lydia, the little teddy bear. What was your favorite movie as a kid? Abby, Harry Potter. Victor, Toy Soldiers. Lydia, Harry Potter. If you could have one superpower, what would it be? I think it would be want to read minds. That's what Abby would say. Victor, teleportation. And Lydia Jacoby, teleportation. What's the most interesting place you visited? Abby, South Africa or India. Victor Montalvo, Reunion Island. And Lydia Jacoby, there's so many. I thought Monaco was crazy, though. It's like another world. People don't know that I can, Abby Tanner, ice skate. Victor Montalvo, Pop and Ollie. Lydia Jacoby, ski. And who is the GOAT in your sport? Abby Tamer, Luciana Amar from Argentina. Victor Montalvo, Ivan, the urban action figure. Lydia Jacoby, Katie Ledecky. Hurrah. Major League Baseball, Diamond Rides. Pitchers are making grand entrances from the bullpen thanks to these wheels. Tipping a driver is common after a good ride, but Twins pitcher Stephen Okert took things to a new level in May. Minnesota was playing in Washington, where relievers are driven from the bullpen to the mound by a cart. Okert entered a game against the Nationals in the fifth inning. When he disembarked, he handed the driver a $5 tip. I was carrying the $5 bill the whole series waiting to get in, Okert said. It brought him good karma. He retired all four batters he faced and got the win. The practice of chauffeuring pitchers from the bullpen is believed to have begun in 1950 when relievers at Cleveland Stadium were ferried to the mound in a convertible. That created a problem. Fans would pelt the car with cups. The White Sox began using a station wagon the next year. When Yankees manager Casey Stengel complained that his team only drove Cadillacs, the Sox complied with the Cadillac Hearst. In the 1970s, carts with large hats as roofs became popular. Other teams crafted custom rides. In the early 1980s, the Mariners unveiled a tugboat. It was very unpopular with pitchers, many of whom chose to hoof it instead. The Brewers paid homage to the Harley-Davidson Company, which is based in Milwaukee, by using a motorcycle with the pitcher riding in a sidecar. And in the late 1970s, the Yankees put their famous pinstripes on a Toyota Celica. Not surprisingly, fans found it made a wonderful target for garbage. Former reliever Rich Gossage recalled to The Athletic, "We had to turn the windshield wipers on just so the driver could see where he was going. Now there's a guy who deserved a tip." We have here some pictures of the Washington Nationals with the big headgear. And on page 17, traveling in style through the years, looks like the White Sox of old in the little golf cart, and the New York Yankees traveling in their little vehicle. And down the bottom of page 17, looks like the team, well, nice little driver there. Looks like he's on a skating rink. Drafted duos. Getting one draft pick right on can put a team on the path to success. But when it nails two for more top selections in 1 year, look out. 2024, Rome Odunze and Caleb Williams, Chicago Bears. That couldn't have worked out much better for the Bears, huh? NFL.com ranked Williams and Odunze as the number one and number three prospects in the class. An unprecedented run on quarterbacks ensured that the Bears were going to get a great value with the ninth pick. But to get Odunze, a player who has been compared to Larry Fitzgerald, was a dream scenario. 2024, Cameron Brink and Rekia Jackson. Caitlin Clark And the Indiana Fever dominated WNBA draft headlines this year, but two teams picked twice in the first seven selections. The Sparks took Stanford's Brink above and Tennessee's Jackson at number two and number four, respectively. Brink was the nation's top defender, while Jackson averaged 20.2 points per game as a senior. The Chicago Sky nabbed a potentially even more formidable back-to-back basket duo, South Carolina center Camila Cardoso near right, and LSU's Angel Reese. 1979, Mark Messier and Glenn Anderson and Wayne Gretzky, kind of, Edmonton Oilers. In the 1979 draft, the Oilers accepted being bumped all the way down to the last pick in each round in exchange for the NHL honoring a contract they had signed with a young Gretzky who would otherwise have entered the draft pool. With the final pick of the first round, they took future Hall of Famer defenseman Kevin Lowe. Then Edmonton took Messier above left and in the third round at Anderson above right in the fourth. The Messier-Anderson combo would form explosive second line that played behind Gretzky, most famously as wingers on either side of the center, Ken Linesman. In the 1982-83 season, the dynamic duo of Messier and Anderson both eclipsed 100 points with 106 and 104, respectively. Gretzky contributed 196 points on the first line. How's that for depth? And let's end with a little what's the call. Number one, head case. Buzz and Whitley are captains of teams playing a baseball game under Major League Baseball rules. Lizzie hits a high fly ball right into right field where the fence juts around the treehouse. Buzz loses the ball in the sun and it hits him on the head and deflects over the fence. Whitney says it's a home run. Buzz claimed it's only a double. Who is correct? Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. You're going to need a tape measure for this one. It's a home run unless the point at which the ball crossed the fence was less than 250 feet from the home plate, in which case, it's a double. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.